I want to begin reading Matthew chapter 5, beginning in the first verse. It says, "And when they saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I want to talk about this morning attitudes that belong in the kingdom of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you don't have an attitude, do you?" Attitudes that belong in the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. I pray now for preaching grace. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. I pray for healing upon anybody today, Lord, healing. I pray for transformation now. I pray for the word of God to go forth in the name of Jesus, Lord Father God. We pray that the word would be delivered with clarity, with Lord Father God, with your spirit today. Thank you for what you're doing. Guide those who are still on their way here. And God, may the word of God transform us. Forgive us all of our sins. Clear our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Thank you so much. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. And one of the things I told you about the kingdom of God is here on earth. The kingdom of God consists of what I call the universal church, which is called the body of Christ, which is made up of born again believers from all over the world. In other words, we are the family of God. Children by faith in Jesus Christ, we are called sons and daughters and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The first thing that's needed to get into the kingdom is that you and I must accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The moment that you accept Christ, you entered into the kingdom of God. 2 weeks ago, I told you what the kingdom of God was all about. I told you that the kingdom of God is in you, that we make up the kingdom of God. But last week I told you about a rival kingdom. I talked to you last week about Satan's kingdom. Is that right? I told you that Satan's kingdom is full of strong deception. That Satan, the Bible says, he comes to steal, kill, destroy, and deceive. I told you last week that Satan's kingdom is full of satanic schemes. Anybody was set up this week? Amen. Satan set me up this week, and he had a good setup. Amen. I told you not only that, but there is a spiritual mafia that's after you. Amen. From the kingdom of Satan. I also told you that the moment that you gave your life to Christ, there was a hit that was put out on you. In other words, Satan is, he will not stop. He is looking for you. He has your picture plastered up on his wall and it says, "Most wanted." I wish I had somebody. He has sent his best hitman, amen, to destroy you, to steal from you, to kill you. But not only did I tell you that, but I told you that Satan's kingdom is also spiritual. So what I want to say to you is, if you get into a fight with your spouse, you get into a disagreement with your boss, or your children won't act right and you can't get along with them, it's not your children, it's a satanic setup. Because the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 6, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against wickedness in high places. And that's where our fight is. It's in the spiritual realm. And the only way for you and I to break the strongholds in our lives is that we, you and I, have to learn how to fight spiritually. And one of the areas that Satan has mastered in is, and he tries to affect us in, is with our attitudes. Do I have anybody? You see, even in Satan's kingdom, you have to have a certain kind of attitude. You know what kind of attitude you got to have in Satan's kingdom? You got to have a bad attitude. I wish I had somebody. You have to have a negative attitude. You have to have, amen, an attitude that does not appreciate God. In Satan's kingdom, it's okay to go off on everybody. Come on, somebody. In Satan's kingdom, you can walk around and just be mad, looking crazy. Sometimes when we walk into the body, into the church, come on, somebody. When we walk into God's kingdom, it look like we just live Satan's kingdom. Do I have a witness? Amen. I'm glad I got an amen. You probably know someone who is very negative. Am I right about it? You may be wondering, why are they so unhappy? Come on, somebody. Maybe they don't know how to stop being that way. Maybe, amen, they appear to be more negative than they really are. Amen. If we live in the kingdom, and if we live by God's kingdom principles, amen, watch what happens. The process of a right attitude begins to make progress in your life. Do I have anybody? You see, if you are in God's kingdom, here's the kind of attitude you ought to have. If you suffer, you rejoice. Got me? You got me? You with me? Watch this. If you're mistreated, you pray. So the Bible said, they mistreat you, what do you do? Pray for them, right? You don't cuss. You don't retaliate. You don't go off. You don't trip. Because when we do that, we show whose kingdom we're really a part of. I should have got an amen right there. Right there. Now here's the one that really gets us. If you hit me on my cheek, I ought to offer the other one. I wish I had somebody. Now, I know the Bible is real, but sometimes it seems like it's not realistic. Sometimes what God is asking me to do, pray for them. Forgive them. Are you serious? I don't know about you, but I have not felt like praying for people who mistreat me. I wish I had you. And that boils down to an attitude. And as a believer in God's kingdom, you and I should have an attitude, amen, that displays who we belong to. Now, let me say this. There are effects of negativity. Listen to this. Negativity can change the way you look at everything and keep you, watch this, from enjoying many things that should bring you joy. For instance, you're at home with your family and you look, you have a good family, but all you see is negative. All you point out is negative. Ouch. Amen or thank you. You have a roof over your head. I don't like this. I can't stand this place. It's got roaches, got rats, it's got all kinds. You understand what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. Are you paying any bills? You know, them kids talk like that. You know, they want more. They got a bad attitude. They want more, but they're not paying any bills. All right, Are y'all? Y'all with me? I think y'all with me today. You see, an attitude can keep you, watch this, from trying new things. Did you know that? Negativity can stop you, come on somebody, from trying new things. I ain't trying that. You ever talk to somebody like that? Every time you bring something positive, I don't want that shit. That's an attitude. That's a terrible attitude. Listen, it can also keep you from maturing and learning how to cope with life challenges. Watch this. Negativity can lead to sadness, depression, stress, and watch this, and giving up on life. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. It's not time to give up. Maybe the way you're looking at it, amen, has caused you to develop a worldview of Satan's kingdom and not God's kingdom. Do I have anybody? Negativity will keep you out of the negativity, watch this, will not keep you out of the kingdom, but it will keep you from enjoying a kingdom life. Come on, somebody. May I say this to you? You and I, watch this, watch. You don't need money to be happy. You need favor. Now watch this. Where can you get favor? In the kingdom. I'm going to say it one more time. You get favor from being a child of God. But if I am negative all the time, and if I'm walking around with the bad attitude, with the wrong attitude, I should say, amen, guess what? I cannot enjoy a kingdom life. And I see so many Christians talking about, well, I've been suffering. Listen, when you suffer, you know what the Bible says when you suffer, what happens? What you are when you suffer? You're blessed. James says, count it all joy. When you encounter various trials. Now that word various, in the Greek, the word is makarios. And the word Makarios means multicolor. Have you ever been surrounded by multicolor trials? I wish I had somebody. Has the light bill ever go from white to pink? That's multicolor trials. You go to work and you're surrounded by people who are satanically setting you up to lose your job. I wish I had somebody. You're surrounded by all kinds of stuff. But he says, as a kingdom person, a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to count it joy. Now, I cannot see joy in what I'm going through because my attitude about it, come on somebody, is negative. And so my aim today is to introduce you now this week and next week about attitudes that belong in the kingdom. Let me ask you something. Do you want the blessings of having the right attitude? Do you want to change your attitude? Y'all got quiet on me, boy. You want a kingdom attitude. See, because what I found out is people always say, you know, you gotta have the right attitude, but they never tell me what I gotta do to get it. They never tell me what I gotta do. So today I want to show you what I do. Show you the different attitudes that belong in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, we find, now watch this, is real deep right here. Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Begins with Jesus teaching, but in chapter 4, there's something interesting that went on. It's amazing. Now, watch this. I chose this passage 2 weeks ago. The passage that I preached last week, I chose that a week before. But it just so happened that it all lines up with what I talked about last week and then what I'm talking about this week from two different parts of the Bible. Watch this. In chapter 4, Jesus was tempted by who? Satan. I told you about Satan's kingdom last week. Some of you fell asleep on me. Some of you missed the message. But I want to tell you something. Watch this. I want to tell you something. Matthew chapter 4 talks about Jesus being tempted before he starts his business, his ministry, his public ministry. Right after that, right after he was tempted by Satan, if you look at verse 12, it says, chapter 4, when he heard that John had been taken into custody, and he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun in the Nephilim. I get it. Verse 14. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, the land of the Zebulun and the land of the Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting where? In darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was fulfilling scripture. In other words, here's what I want to tell you. Wherever you're supposed to be, watch this, and you're not there, you will never fulfill your purpose. Jesus went to where he was supposed to be, and notice what the Bible says. He came as a light. Come on, somebody. He is the light of the world. He had just been tempted by Satan. You know, before you get ready to do something big in your life, you got to remember that you got to be tested to see if you can be trusted with kingdom principles. I wish I had somebody. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, the things that God will put in your life, you have to be trusted with it because it's more valuable than what you used to have. I'm going somewhere. God will trust you with more grace. He'll trust you with mercy. He'll trust you with his word. He'll trust you to pray for somebody. He'll trust you to approach somebody and say it's going to be all right. Amen. He will trust you with transforming you so that you can be a witness to somebody else. I wish I had an amen. That's what was happening here. Jesus is going through, and then he went through, fulfilled prophecy, but in verse 18, he called his first disciples. He called his first disciples. He begins his ministry in Galilee, and the first thing that he did after he brought these men into the kingdom, guess what he did? He sat them down, and first thing he taught them. What's the thing that God taught him before he went public with his ministry? That Satan will tempt you. Come on, somebody. That Satan will not stop. And so what God wanted to do for Jesus, he wanted to be him to be aware, that's why I gave you that message last week, of Satan's kingdom. Are you with me? Now watch this. If you're not aware of Satan's tactics, you will fall for everything that he throws at you. But watch this. Watch this now. Watch the text. The first thing he did after he called these men, he sat them down and he told them, hey, let me just let you know something. Before y'all get to doing ministry, let's talk about your attitude. And that's where we got the Beatitudes from. You know why it's called the Beatitudes? Because you got to be it. You can't just say it. You got to be it. That's why it's called the Beatitudes. Are you with me? The Beatitudes are comprised of three elements. All right? There are three elements in this, and I'm almost done. Watch this. There is a blessing in the Beatitudes. All right? Number two, there's a quality of life. Eight. Are you with me? There's a quality of life and a reason, and then there's a reason why you should develop that attitude. So we're going to look at this together. I'm just going to look at four of them today. I want to show you four of them today, all right? So watch this, watch this, watch this. Beatitudes, it's important to remember this, that the word all through the Beatitudes, it says blessed. Yeah. Now, the blessed, which is the hallmark of the Beatitudes, it means happiness. Yeah. I want to show you something now. It is not happy in the sense of happenstance or luck, all right, or chance, but happy in the sense, watch this, of a quality of life. Watch this. Given by a spiritual life. See, when you, listen, you could decide today, I want to be happy without God. Or I can be happy and in the kingdom, and because I have the right attitude, when I suffer, I don't trip. When folk talk about me, I can bless them. When the devil throws stuff at me, I can be calm. I'm not playing or pretending, but I'm practicing the principles. And the principles of Beatitudes are in Scripture. And what you and I have to understand, it is happiness as a result, watch this, of an inward spiritual condition. Oh, man. It has nothing to do with material, amen, or physical condition. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. Your happiness is not based on your paycheck. Amen. It's amazing how our attitudes change on payday. And then on non-payday, you're like, man, what happened? What's going on? I mean, dang, you look different. May I say this to you? How many of you want a consistent good attitude? A consistent godly attitude. Consistent kingdom attitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to work on this. We're going to work on this. We're going to work. Listen, work on this. Come on. How many of you going to work on this? You're not coming back to church looking crazy no more. Because guess what? You come in here looking crazy. I'm going to say, listen, that attitude don't belong in this kingdom. You might as well turn around, go to your car, look yourself in the mirror and say, and then come on back in and practice it in the church.
All right.
We were watching this commercial last night in Britain. The guy got dressed up. He was on his suit and everything. He was talking about toothpaste commercial, right? He brushed his teeth. You know, they were trying to say that you got to take care of your chops, you got to brush, you know what I mean? And he got a handsome little fella, not as handsome as me, but he's handsome. And he got in the mirror, right? And then he did like that, and he had a tooth missing. And what they were trying to say is, if you don't brush, you're going to lose it, right? Well, here's if you don't smile, you're going to lose it too. And I realize that some people don't smile, amen, because they're embarrassed, amen, or what, you know what I mean? But here's the thing, all you got to do is brush. You just got to brush, just brush. I told you that, said, just brush, just brush, just brush, just be all right. Amen. We are in a progressive time. We got floss, we got all kinds of stuff. Anyways. Listen, laughter is contagious. It's good for the soul. And sometimes we're so serious about life and we got this satanic attitude. Oh, shoot. My mommy said, boy, you act like the devil. Because she saw it. Come on, somebody. That was satanic. So when I come to you, you look, I'll say, all right, I'm a smile. That's all I'm going to do is smile. But let's look at these four attitudes. Next week, we look at four more. Watch this. Verse 3, it says, blessed are the what? Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I want to say this to you. Water flows to the lowest places. So we should learn that that's the only way to please God is to be humble. So the first attitude that belongs in the kingdom, the first attitude is an attitude of humility. Humility. For a long time, I used to be scared to pray for humility because I was afraid of what God would use to humble me. And when you embrace, listen to this, what God is sending to humble you, you will overcome pride. Watch this. Watch this. When you embrace the fact that the people that vex you is God's tool to humble you, then you will develop an attitude of humility. It's not your boss. It's not the person next to you. It's not your husband or your wife. It's not your dog. It's not your cat. It's not them roaches. It's what it is God using instruments to humble us. And the truth be told, humility is the main attitude in the kingdom of God. Everything in his kingdom has to be humble. Listen, do you know that some of us are not blessed because we're not humble? God has given you just enough because he loves you. He has, and you tithe, but you ain't got no money. You know why you got no money? Your attitude. He says, I will open up the windows. Listen, how big is heaven? Watch this. How much does God have in his storehouse? Limitless. See, because God understands something about man. We were born with pride because I told you last week, our first daddy was full of pride. Our first daddy, amen, thrived on pride. He wanted to be like God and he got kicked out. Pride gets you kicked out. Search yourself. I said, search yourself. Pride reminds God of the devil. And in the kingdom of God, amen, listen, pride came from Adam. Humility came from Christ. Watch this. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit helps you to rid yourself of pride. Humble me, Lord. Death to self. Lord, let me die to me. You know, I learned something from my wife. I've been learning over the years, over 16 years. I haven't gotten it right yet, but I've learned that I got to serve her. I wish I had somebody. You know what that takes? Humility. Because sometimes I don't want to do it. I don't think you're hearing me. See, what I found out, Andrew, book. You can search it on the internet right now. Not right now, but. And I want you to get this book. I want you, it's free. It's a free book. Matter of fact, those of you who ain't got time to read, go on YouTube. Everybody got YouTube? Everybody got YouTube. We use YouTube for all kinds of stuff. Type in this. Type in Andrew Murray, Humility, and listen to the book. If you don't want to read the book. Andrew Murray, Humility. Just like that. And they will give you the book. And if you start listening to that book, that's how I started to pay more attention of the fact that, man, I got a little touch of pride in me. We were born with it. It's inbred in us. But when you give your life to Jesus and you come into his kingdom, pride does not belong in his kingdom. Now, what's the blessing that comes with being poor in spirit? He says what? What do you inherit? What do you inherit? What? Blessing, what's the blessing for being humble? What's the blessing for being humble? The what? The kingdom of God. See, what I found out is sometimes we get saved, and even with being saved in God's kingdom, we're like Satan. We start setting up our own kingdom. My ministry. My this, my that, my this. Can I ask you something? How humble are you? Have you taken the humility test yet? And let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Let me tell you what you need to do. Embrace what God is about to use. God, okay. What do you desire? If your pastor comes to you and say, hey, do this, can you do it? If you're asked to serve God, could you do it? See, here's the thing. If you're not serving him, then who are you serving? Are you just an attender? I attend church, but I don't serve anybody. Who gonna be humble enough to say, how can I serve you? See, that's the kingdom attitude God wants from us. If we stay humble as a church, water flows to the lowest places. And I gave my daughter an illustration while we were riding down the path on the bike trail, right? There's a tree that sits at the top. And it was withered. It was the leaves were black. I mean, it looked bad. And I said, you see that tree? That tree had an opportunity. But the thing about that tree got the same opportunity as the tree that's in the lower places. But the difference is the tree was planted too high. Come on, somebody. And when you plant yourself too high, listen, God can't flow down blessings on you. You won't be amply supplied with all you need. Listen, the flow of water, and then I showed her, we went a little further, and I showed, we should have put the picture up, but I showed her the ones at the bottom. I said, look at them. They just chill. They ain't doing nothing. They're blossoming. They got, listen, full green. What you gotta be. And we had this conversation on the track. She said, Daddy, you know what? Every time you tell me something, I jump on the defense, you know what I mean? And I get an attitude. She recognized that she had pride. I'm hoping today through God's word that you understand that this be attitude in the kingdom means that we got to humble ourselves. The Bible says you correct a wise man, he's going to love you. You correct a fool. Back to that church. Shoot, they can go on with that. They think they all that. Let's go to the next attitude. First, I stayed there too long. What can you say? Blessed are those who mourn. This is the part that really, really messed me up. I read that 16 years. Yesterday was my birthday, by the way. My spiritual birthday. I'm only 16, y'all. That's why I'm playful and I act a fool sometimes. Maybe when I turn 30, I'll be a little bit more mature. But his thing. He says, blessed are they who what? Mourn. Now, this word mourn, it means to lament, to be sad. Watch this. To be sorrowful. Watch this. Not about the loss of your job. Not about the loss of your finances, not about loss of your family or your friends or any other secular or material loss, but mourning, watch this, caused by sin. My next point. You need an attitude of immediate repentance. Listen to this. If you can live in sin and be jolly and happy, bad attitude. He says, blessed are they who have an attitude that see. You know what? I messed up. Lord, forgive me. I spoke to a young man yesterday who had been to war and had seen things that you and I would never see. that had participated in things, and you know what his you know what his you know what he asked me yesterday? It brought chills to my spine. He said, "Pastor, how does God forgive me for the things I've done?" And I begin to break down 1 John 1:9 because he was a believer. I said, "If you confess your sins," you see, a person who has an attitude of immediate repentance does this. They know they fall short, but immediately they repent. See, what we do, we linger and we let it be. And let me give you this. When lust is conceived, conception of lust, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. You wonder why things are dying at your house? You wonder why things are dying in that relationship? You're still shacking? Did I say that? You're still not living right with God? Serving Him? Committed to Him? You're still involved in puff, puff, pass? Amen. You get high and then you start psychologicalizing the Bible. See, let me tell you what that word means. You see it? It's deep, ain't it? you follow what I'm saying? And you're sitting there, look, two fools sitting there talking about, yeah, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. And you're going back and forth, right? And you're like, listen, that's the pot calling the kettle black. I'm just saying, an immediate repentance, an attitude of immediate repentance says, I recognize I've fallen short. Forgive me, God. Let me get back on track. I'm not going to accept what Satan tells me. Listen, you done messed up, so why not go all the way then? Shoot, we love each other. Shoot, we ain't got no courthouse going to tell us. Shoot, we ain't got to do none of that. My question is, you know how I feel about that. Why are you test driving the car? Take it back to the dealership. If that woman is worth something to you, you put a ring on it. See, and what these women don't understand, they're like, let me stop. What's the promise? That after you repent, listen, may I say this to you? When you give up that thing that's been holding you all that time, he says, watch what he says. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. You know what? When I gave up cigarettes, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to scratch my hand. Just the thought of giving it up, I ain't doing that, no way. Listen, I would come close. No way. I couldn't even picture myself without a cigarette in my hand. But I want to tell you something about God. When he took it from me, he swooped in and comforted me and say, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through this. It's going to be all right. See, nobody wants to be told that living in sin, right? But when one does not get offended but accepts the fact that they did sin, they will be comforted by the Holy Spirit. May I tell you something? You have the Spirit of God in you. And if you and I keep living in sin and we have no conviction about it, something's wrong. You know what kind of attitude we have then? Pride. Because we refuse, watch this, to surrender to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us to do. And that report, you know what that falls in, what category that falls into? Rebellion. You know what rebellion is like in the Bible? Witchcraft. You know what witchcraft is like in the Bible? Drug use. You know what drug use is like in the Bible? Sorcery. You know what sorcery is? You're under a spell. And that's the reason why you can't kick the habit, because you're under a spell. But if you have a kingdom attitude, Lord, forgive me. I dare you to try. Forgive me. If you got to ask him 100 times, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Now, listen, now, you're going to mess up. You're going to look at stuff. You know, don't go. Don't get crazy now, okay? Just day at a time. Watch the next thing. Watch the next thing. He says, then he goes to verse 5. Yeah, some of y'all need this right here. They're right here. Lord, have mercy. You know. There's, I want to say women, but it, you know, when a woman is scorned, man, that's a rough business right there, man. You know, when a man scorned, you know what he do? He get prideful. Yeah, I'm finna go out here and get all I can while I can. Amen. I'm finna hurt them all. Right? But the text says, blessed are the gentle. You know what gentle means? To be mild-mannered. To have a soothing disposition. My daughter asked my wife, and some of you got all this stuff already. You know, you do. You already have this in your makeup, right? And some of us, for me, it's hard. You know what I mean? She said, is Daddy stressed out? This is my 10-year-old. I said, daggone, would you stop being the Holy Spirit in my life? Daggone. I'm serious. Is Daddy stressed out? Because I came home with, how many of you come home without a soothing disposition? I mean, you just all work. I mean, what is the problem? I mean, listen, I was convicted putting this message together. I dropped on my knees. I said, Lord, I want to be gentle. Because I want to be in your kingdom. Listen, we understand that we don't have to be in an uproar all the time. Attitude belongs in Satan's kingdom. We have to stop being on the edge about life's issues. If you humbly handle it, okay, they call you. But I got to practice it on Friday. My phone just went shattered. Ow. I didn't cuss. Didn't trip. A man told me, then he tried to jack me up at the store. I didn't trip with him. I was really practicing this stuff, right? Trying to at least practice it. You follow what I'm saying? I came close to losing my gentleness, but I had to back down. So what I'm saying is, I want you to practice this stuff. So the next thing, you ready for the next attitude? It's right there, an attitude of gentleness. But what's the promise? They shall inherit. You know what that means? The meek, watch this. Here's the thing about the gentle. Here's the promise in the kingdom. If you start applying this and start praying about this and saying, God, I'm going to get this kind of attitude, he says your future will look bright. He was talking future tense. He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. In other words, what he was saying is, you're making a deposit on your future, because your future will be bright, because gentle people look like they go a little further. Gentle. Soothed disposition. Not all worked up over life's issue. I wish I had somebody. Oh, and in the future, if they knew, listen, if you know every time you go off, watch this, you will lose some of your inheritance in kingdom of God, then what you going to do? So this week, our boss is going to be like, what happened? You weren't in church? Your boss is going to look at you real different. You know why? Because you're going to go work tomorrow. You're going to be gentle. Matter of fact, when you leave here today, don't go in the car and go off. Okay, you're going to be gentle. We're going to be what? What are we going to be? Because if we're not gentle, we're messing up our what? Future. All right? Now watch this. Last one. Verse 6. Blessed what? Hunger? Man. And thirst for what? For they shall be what? Satisfied. Here's the next attitude. An attitude driven by spiritual desires. My desire is different. If I'm hungry, and if I'm thirsty for righteousness, I was telling the young man yesterday, doesn't matter how far you live. If you're being fed over here, you drive. If you're getting something, if you have a spiritual desire, come on, somebody. You see, the focus here is not on the righteousness, but the focus here is on the desire. Watch this. It's not a desire for fame. It's not a desire for fortune. It's not a desire to satisfy our spiritual appetite, but it is a desire for spiritual things. The question I have for you, how much spiritual things do you when you desire spiritual things, you'll make Bible study. When you desire spiritual things, you'll change the channel. Amen. When you desire spiritual things and you're hungry and thirsty, how many of you are hungry for the word? How many of you thirsty for righteousness? And the more food you get, the more transformed you become. The more you give of God of your time, the more you give of your talents, the more you have this hunger. Listen, I'm hungry. I still want more. When I leave here by Thursday, I'm empty. So that's why I teach at the seminary. Because I got to get filled back up. Listen, what you put in your spirit all during the week affects how you live. But then God will take you to some dry places. Hello, somebody. He'll take you through some dry seasons. Life is about seasons, and he'll take you through these dry seasons of your life. But because you've been fed well, come on, somebody, you can survive a couple of weeks, a couple of months. Amen. But listen, but watch this now. You can't go that long. Because if you go any longer than that, you start fading away. And then you develop a bad attitude. And I want to say this as I close. The promise there is that you will be satisfied. First, I see the short of the reward. He says, you shall be. Second, I see the size of the reward. He says, and last, I see the satisfaction of the reward. He says, you'll be filled over and over again. And I want to encourage you this week to begin to practice these attitudes, to put into play in your life these attitudes so that you can develop a kingdom attitude. You see, in America, ultimately the Supreme Court makes the final decisions as it relates to laws of our country. When the Supreme Court speaks, amen, all the other courts must adjust. Am I right? At this point, it becomes irrelevant what the district court says or what the state court says. But once the Supreme Court speaks, the final authority of the law in the land, all other decisions are canceled, reversed, or reinforced because the final authority has ruled. A Christian who's truly a kingdom person, hello somebody, when he's willing to adjust his decisions to God's decisions, come on somebody, even if God's decisions is not preferred, amen, you adjust to God's decisions. God's ways are not your ways. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. But I thank God today that I've lived a little while and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I thank God for Jesus. Let me tell you why I thank God for Jesus. Because he says, blessed, hallelujah, those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But blessed are those who are poor in spirit. I thank God that I realized that my attitude needed to change in order for me to maximize my potential in the body of Christ. I thank God that it was an attitude adjustment. It was what I really needed. God had to humble me to show me that he was God. And I want to tell somebody here today, you have to stop tolerating sin and calling it blessed. You have to start calling it what it is. It's wrong. It's sin, and God ain't going for that. And if you have an attitude of humility, you will humble yourself and say, God, I surrender. Do I have anybody? And let me say this to you. Not only will he humble you and bless you, but lastly, what he'll do, he'll satisfy you. And when you have an attitude of gentleness, your future in the kingdom will be bright. Give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, let's thank him. Come on, let's thank him. Let's thank him. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want a different attitude, Lord. I want a better attitude, God. I want a kingdom attitude. If that's you today, and you're here today and you say, God, I want a kingdom attitude. I want an attitude that belongs in the kingdom because I'm part of the kingdom. Today, I want to tell you something. It's available to you. And listen, just like this morning at our 8:30 service, people responded because they looked at themselves. We come to church sometimes, we hear a word, and we never respond. And today, if that's you, today, if you want to have a kingdom attitude, an attitude of humility,